The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 12. A quick and exciting announcement about the Extra Pack of Peanuts site and podcast before we get to our show. In order to give you even more of what you want, we've just created a new page that will allow you to view all the upcoming podcast guests before we record with them. Each guest will have a short bio and links to their website so you can learn all about them. And this means that you can send me your questions for those guests, and I'll then pick out some and ask them live on the podcast.
Sweet.
To check out who is going to be on the podcast, head over to www.extrapackofpeanuts.com/podcast schedule, or you can also find it on the website in the drop-down menu under podcast. All right, let's get on to today's trivia and an awesome show with Steve Kam of nerdfitness.com. Tennessee and Missouri share borders with 8 other states, the most in the U.S. I'll show you Paris in the morning. I'll show you London afternoon. If you feel your Dublin heart is burning, then well, you don't have to worry, cause we're going there soon. Then you don't. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that teaches you how to travel more while spending less. I'm Trav, the creator of Extra Pack of Peanuts, and with me today is a man who wears the badge of nerd proudly, Steve Kam of nerdfitness.com. Steve, thanks for coming on the show and welcome.
Trav, what's up, dude? Thanks for having me.
All right, the first thing I'm sure people are wondering is what the heck does fitness have to do with travel? And we're going to touch on how those two things can work together in just a moment. But first, you're not just a fitness nerd. You're actually a pretty big travel nerd as well, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, actually in the past, I want to say past 2.5 years, I've probably been to 20 countries and flown something like 170,000 miles or something like that. So I get my butt out there to do some traveling too.
Yeah, and I think the first way I found your site was through your video, Exercising Around the World. And seriously, I watch it at least once a month. Still, it's that inspiring.
Thanks, man. I had a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah, you could tell. The video is great. And if people haven't seen it, I'm going to link it in the show notes and everything. And again, it's an awesome video. I want to talk a little bit about it. When did you know you wanted to make this video? Were you just some crazy guy running around the world doing exercises and you decided you put it together? Or did you kind of plan out in advance?
Sure. So actually, you know, I want to say two big mentors, not mentors, but two big inspirations for me. One, obviously being the most famous around the world guy being Matt, Matt who danced around
right.
The world. Where the hell is Matt.com. I remember sitting in an office probably 5-6 years ago and stumbling across his videos and watching him dancing all over the world. And I thought, man, that's amazing. And at the time, I had never really done any sort of international travel before. And I thought someday, if I ever get a chance, that's something I want to do. And this is right around the time I had started nerdfitness.com. And then I stumbled across Chris Guillebeau, who was a big inspiration for me to start getting into the whole travel hacking aspect of travel and things. And when Nerd Fitness started to take off, I had the opportunity to kind of free up my time and location. So I started to put plans in place to begin traveling. And the first country I went to was Peru. And I went to, you know, Machu Picchu and spent a couple weeks down there. And I was with a friend and decided to start doing some push-ups in Machu Picchu with the background behind it, because I just thought it seemed pretty awesome and epic. And after coming back from that and ultimately 2 months later booking around the world ticket, that's where the idea kind of jumped to my head. I was like, you know what, Matt has been such an inspiration for me. I run a fitness website. I want to prove to people that you can still stay healthy and exercise and get strong and have fun while traveling around the world. So, you know, my first spot, I think, was Australia. And I really just started kind of doing whatever exercise the particular location or environment allowed me to complete, whether it was push-ups or pull-ups or squats or runs, sprints, hill climbs, whatever. And just over the course of a year, you know, slowly concepted it and eventually turned it into a quick 4-minute video, I guess 3-minute video, that I put out just about a year and a couple of months ago.
Okay. Yeah. And so a quick 3 or 4 minute video took you how long to actually edit then?
You know, it's funny. To be honest, I'm not sure quite how many hours it took, just because I was kind of editing it as the year went along. I would get through most of it, and I have about 80% of it done, and then I have to think of like, oh well, if I'm headed to France and I need to film a transition of me going from push-ups to running, or from handstands to something else. That, you know, I kind of had the idea like I would have to fill in some of those blanks, but you know, I kind of really just kind of winged it. It wasn't like I had the whole thing storyboarded out from the beginning and you know, freaked out if I got to a country and didn't get the perfect shot. I just kind of like, you know, whatever, kind of went with the flow, had some fun with it. And it's funny, you know, it's got a couple thousand views on it. And it took me obviously 14 months of travel and crazy amounts of editing and all that stuff. And I probably would have ended up with more views if I had like a stupid video of a dog running into a wall or something. But I stand by my decision to travel around the world and exercise instead.
Yeah, it's a really phenomenal video, like I said. I watch all the time. I did notice you did all the editing and stuff yourself, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because it looks really well done. And, you know, now there's other ones where people kind of do that same concept of doing something, you know, all in all these different places. But I think, you know, yours was one of the first ones I saw. And I really think just the fact that you did it all. Now, who did you have filming for you?
It depends. You know, sometimes a good friend of mine's a pilot. And we've actually been friends since first grade, so we can kind of hop on any plane he wants. So
nice.
He's probably met up with me in, you know, 6 or 7 countries. You know, he can kind of stack his schedule to take a week off here and there and hop on the nearest plane and meet me in Thailand or South Africa or wherever. So he was generally the video guy if he was with me. If not, then I would either find somebody that, you know, either if I was staying in a hostel, it'd be somebody there, or really some really, really confused tourist in a foreign country who didn't speak English, and I'd ask them to hold the camera up, and then I'd start doing like jump ropes and, you know, on the Great Wall of China, or push-ups and who knows where, doing what. So I certainly got plenty of funny looks as I was doing what I was doing wherever I was.
Yeah, well, the video, it really is awesome. I think it's a cool flagship video for your site too, because what I want to talk about now is your idea of, you know, health and fitness and how it isn't exactly mainstream or kind of goes against conventional wisdom. If you wouldn't mind, could you give us a little bit of background of Nerd Fitness and how those thoughts you have are a little different than, you know, go to the gym every day, bulk up, da 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 da.
Right. Well, I started exercising back when I was about 16, and I spent a good 6 years of my life reading every muscle fitness magazine out there and every, you know, bodybuilder.com and reading every quote unquote healthy website or healthy magazine I could, and following the advice in those magazines and books. And sure enough, 6 years later, I had very little to show for it, despite the fact that I was working out 5-6 days a week. It wasn't until I finally, after college, I moved to California and signed up for a gym membership, and they gave me some free personal trainer sessions. The guy completely simplified my workout, like made it really basic. I'm talking, you know, I did maybe a total of six to eight exercises in an entire week. You know, it'd be maybe 3 exercises a day. And that was it. And he completely changed my diet as well. And in 30 days, I had more success than I'd had in my entire 6 years prior to that.
Wow.
That's when the light bulb went off in my head. And I thought, geez, every mainstream fitness site out there, every magazine, every ad you see, they're all selling you on this particular lifestyle, this particular, you know, conventional wisdom that you need to have a gym membership and you need these supplements and you need to pay for this piece of equipment or you need this particular thing or you're never going to get healthy. And I've come to discover that is absolutely not true. I know that you can absolutely get in shape without taking a single supplement. You don't need a gym membership. You can exercise in the comfort of your own home. And, you know, exercise does not need to be miserable either. Like everybody thinks, they think I need to go to a gym and run on a treadmill for 4 hours and then come home, eat celery and starve yourself. It's like, that is miserable. I would never do that. If that's what fitness was, I wouldn't be running a fitness site.
Right.
So I try to come at it from a different perspective, like, hey, everything else that you've tried up to this point might not be working, but it's not your fault. It's because that's what you've been taught and that's what they're trying to push on you because they're trying to make money. Conversely, here are some other ideas that you can do. Try these out for a month and see if it works. Like, find exercise that makes you happy, you know, whether it's going for walks or throwing a frisbee, taekwondo, live action role playing, rock climbing, whatever it may be, whatever gets you off your butt and exercising is a huge step. And if you can find a way to do that every single day, you're going to be a little bit, you know, you're going to get that much closer towards that healthy life that you're looking for. Now, that being said, I want to say exercise is maybe only 10 to 20% of the equation when it comes to getting healthy. Your diet is 80% to 90% of your success or failure when it comes to losing weight and getting healthy. And most people don't want to hear that. They want to hear that they can go to a gym, exercise for hours, and come home and eat donuts and cake and pasta and whatever, and they'll be fine. They'd be much better off taking a stronger focus on their diet and instead worrying about exercising less. So to be honest with you, I exercise maybe, I want to say 3 days a week for an hour. And those 3 days, you know, I'll be in a gym doing some strength training. And then on the other days, I'll go for long walks or maybe I'll play basketball, but things that don't necessarily feel like exercise. You know, I'm a much bigger fan of taking small steps, making changes to how you eat and cutting out certain types of foods and things like that, so that you can get the most amount of the minimal amount of exercise that you're doing, which frees you up then to do whatever it is that makes you happy, be it play video games, read books, travel. You know, I like to get the most results with the least amount of effort possible. So that's kind of how Nerd Fitness is structured. Like, you can still do the things that you like and still be really nerdy, but you can also get in really great shape, and you can do it without having to spend a lot of money or go to a gym or buy supplements and things like that.
Right. Yeah. And one of the things that's the foundation of your core beliefs at Nerd Fitness is the paleo diet. And like you just mentioned, diet being vastly more important than actual exercise or going to the gym or anything like that. The paleo diet post that you made is, I'm sure, continues to be really popular on your site. And that's one of the things that I always come back to when I'm looking for guidance. So for people who are unfamiliar with it, what is the paleo diet in a nutshell? And why are you such a proponent of it?
Sure. So the paleo diet essentially is an attempt to eat the way we are genetically designed to eat. So the theory is 100,000 years ago, back before the agricultural revolution, we ate a certain way. We hunted, we killed animals, we ate protein, we got it from animals that ran across a plain or swam in the ocean or flew through the sky. Along with that, we ate, you know, vegetables and fruits and things that we could find, or nuts and seeds and things like that. So ultimately, your goal is to try to replicate that in today's modern society, which obviously, you know, you're not necessarily comparing apples to apples. You know, food today is obviously vastly different than it was 100,000 years ago.
Sure.
But ultimately, the thought process is, since the agricultural revolution, we've introduced new foods into our system that our bodies are not necessarily equipped to handle. Specifically things, you know, carbohydrates, grains, sugar, and for some people, depending on whether or not they have, you know, lactose intolerance, dairy. A really alarming statistic I found, and this is just in the past couple, I want to say in the past 100 years, but I think it was back in like 1890, we used to eat something like 30 grams of sugar, 30 grams of sugar a day. I'm botching these statistics, but I just wrote a 5,000 word article on sugar like a week ago. So my brain's fried. But essentially now, these days we eat something like 190 grams of sugar a day or two. It's something astronomical.
And sure.
Not surprisingly, we are at the fattest and the unhealthiest level of, you know, of health our country has ever been in. So, you know, putting a couple things together and studying the science and things behind it, I'm learning more and more, and have over the past couple of years, and since promoting this and living it myself and seeing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people follow this type of living and drastically change their lives. You know, I'm absolutely convinced that fat is not the enemy. Fat in our diet is not the problem. Actually, you know, my diet is probably 50 to 60% fat from calories. Okay. The things that I do cut out are carbs. You know, I cut out grains and sugar. And most people don't want to hear that because they're like, well, I can never give up pasta and bread and pizza and hamburger buns and cookies and cake, whatever. It's like, unfortunately, those are the things that are ruining our bodies. I mean, just destroying us. So I encourage people not necessarily go cold turkey and cut out all of those things, but rather make a conscious effort on a weekly basis to make one small change, whether it's cutting out one soda and replacing it with water, or having a salad with chicken instead of going to McDonald's or something like that. Making one change and having one tiny change become permanent over the course of a year is far better for you than to spend, let's say, 4 to 6. This is what most people spend, 4 to 6 weeks, you know, from middle of May until July 1st. They're trying to get in bathing suit season. They starve themselves. They cut out everything. And then come July 1st or whatever it is, they're so miserable that they go back and overeat everything that they used to eat, and everything kind of falls apart and they haven't made any lasting changes. So, you know, the paleo diet ultimately is, how can you adjust your diet to try to eat more natural foods, more things that either grew in the ground or once had a heart, you know, eating more things that are natural compared to something that came out of a box or a vending machine or a drive-thru.
Right. So, Steve, for someone like me who's been active all my life, but I've always struggled with being overweight, and obviously as I get older, I'm 30 now, you know, it becomes tougher and tougher and your body naturally slows down. What are a few small things, like you said, it's all these little small things. What are a few small things you would tell people, the first important steps that they can take to really changing around their life for the better for the long haul and losing weight and getting fit?
Sure. Well, I think one thing most people just don't realize, again, I think the most important things people can educate themselves on is sugar and how their body is affected by that sugar. Ultimately, when you eat something sugary or with grains, your body converts it to glucose. And then your body decides either to burn it as energy or store it as fat. And as you eat more and more sugar and as you get older, your body starts to decide, I'm going to start storing more and more of this as fat and burning less and less of it as energy. So once you can kind of make that realization, it's like, oh, geez, it's not the fat that I'm eating, but it's all the sugar that I've been eating that's making fat. And sugar, you can definitely get addicted to it. Your body can crave that sugar because, you know, you can build these really terrible habits where you start to think about sugar and then all of a sudden your body literally like preps itself for sugar by creating all these processes to get ready for it. At which point all of a sudden the only thing you can think about is sugar and cookies. And I'm sure everybody listening to this is like, damn, I really want a cookie right now.
Right.
So we keep talking about all this stuff. So I think educating yourself on that end, there was actually a TED talk that just came out. I want to say a couple days ago called, do we have it wrong about diabetes? And we assume like you get diabetes because you got fat, and it turns out it might be the reverse. Like our cells kind of adjust with all this extra sugar, and as a result of that, it makes us overweight. So understanding that relationship, just, you know, reading even a couple articles, and I try to make it as easy as possible on Nerd Fitness, but even just educating yourself up front is smart, because then you can at least start to make conscious decisions every time you make a meal choice. It's like, do I really need this? And is this going to get me closer to my goal, or is it going to take me one step further away? So, you know, education there, I think, is really important. And then two, once you kind of make that correlation, then you can start to make small adjustments, whether it's, you know, eating more protein and more fats and trying to cut back on the sugar, or limiting the number of sodas every day. I think, you know, some people might drink like a 12-pack or 2-liter of soda every day. And if they can just slowly start to minimize that, instead of going cold turkey and then having like caffeine headaches and sugar withdrawals and all these miserable things, like, I'm a much bigger fan of just slowly but surely making changes and kind of making adjustments that way.
Right.
Now, obviously, it's one thing to say, oh, I'm just going to eat less sugar, or I'm just going to exercise more. And it's another thing to actually follow through with it. So I'm also a big fan of creating almost like a checks and balances system, where if you actually follow through with something for 5 or 6 days, 7 days in a row, you can reward yourself, not necessarily with bad foods. I don't like rewarding yourself with things that kind of ruin you, but rather reward yourself with things that reward you back. So let's say you manage to go to the gym 3 times every week for a month. At the end of that month, because you actually hit all of your goals, you then allow yourself to buy some new clothes that you fit into better, or you sign up for a karate class, or you sign up for a dance class that you've always wanted to go to, or maybe a healthy cooking class. You know, things that make you want to continue to live better and increase and build the momentum with, you know, the steps that you're trying to put in place. So, you know, I think that's one. And then not only that, but also kind of an accountability system in place in case you don't actually follow through with stuff. So, what I like to do is if I need to do something and I know I'm not going to do it, I tell either people that I work with, you know, people that help me with Nerd Fitness, or some of my friends that, hey, this is what I need to do in the next 2 weeks. I need you to check in on me. And for every day that I don't do it, I'm going to PayPal you $50, or I'm going to donate $50 to the political campaign of somebody that I strongly dislike, or donate to a charity that I completely disagree with. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, crap, I can either just do the damn thing that's going to take me 10 minutes, or I can give away my hard-earned money to something that I don't agree with. Then I should probably just follow through with the thing and actually do it. And once you can kind of follow through with that over a course of a couple of weeks, then you realize, like, oh, okay, this is not that bad. And this small change that you've made starts to become more of a habit. Yeah. And once it becomes more of a habit, then it becomes more automatic. And when it becomes more automatic, you need less willpower to actually do it and less brain power is required. And you're going to be more likely to actually stick with long term than compared to something where you just kind of force yourself to do it crazily for 2 weeks, and then you give up and hate yourself and go right back to where you were.
So small steps towards doing it, small rewards, and then accountability are kind of the three main aspects there.
Yes, sir.
All right. One of the things that I've noticed too is a lot of people, myself included, I'll get on this routine where, you know, I'm exercising, eating right, and everything like that. And then the hardest thing about traveling is that when you go on trips, you're breaking your routine. And then, you know, you start struggling. Like, I'll be very consistent. Then, bam, I start traveling. Everything is new. All of a sudden, I'm not only not exercising, I'm not eating right. And kind of sure. Like a complete tailspin, right?
Sure.
So what are some ways, and you highlight it in the video a little bit, but what are some ways that people can continue to exercise effectively when they're traveling?
Like I said, I was a gym rat for a decade. And then all of a sudden I sold all my stuff and my car and booked the Around the World ticket. And I was faced with running a fitness site and having to look like I was a guy that ran a fitness site, despite not having access to a gym for 10 months. And I was like, oh, what the heck am I going to do? I'm going to come back from this trip and nobody's going to listen to me.
Right.
I can't believe that this is... So, honestly, I took it as a personal challenge. And I thought to myself, if I can find a way to get healthy, stay healthy, and even get stronger and look better throughout this trip, then I know nobody else will ever have any excuse to say, I can't afford to get healthy. It's like, that's not true. You don't need to buy a damn thing. You can walk to a playground and exercise. So actually, that's kind of what I did. To reference, actually, there's an episode from TV show Lost called The Constant. And the important part of this show is, you know, this guy was, you know, traveling back and forth through time and dimensions, blah, blah, blah. But he had this one thing that kind of kept him grounded. And if he didn't have that one thing, his brain would have fried and he would have gone crazy. So I made exercise my constant while I was traveling. Every other day I was in a new city or I was on a bus ride or I was in a new country after a plane trip or whatever. So I told myself that exercise was my constant. That no matter where I was or what I was doing, I would find a place to exercise. So every time I got to a new town, I would pick, you know, I'd walk, let's check into a hostel or a hotel. I would then pick left or right and start walking until I found a park or a playground or a bus stop overhang. Honestly, I didn't care what it was. I just knew that I had to exercise every other day and there was no excuses to be made about it. And yes, it was very difficult to start. But after that first 2 weeks of traveling where I kind of forced myself to do it along with, you know, having accountability built in, it then became something I looked forward to. It was like, I wonder what kind of adventure I can get in today where I can go work out. So,
New challenges,
right. So, I mean, I was, you know, I'd exercise in like the bus stop overhang in like a New Zealand airport. And then 3 days later, I'd be in surfer's paradise in Australia and finding a playground or a swing set to hang on while like kids are swinging next to me, like snot hanging out their nose. And, you know, I'm sitting there trying to exercise. So I made sure that exercise became the thing that I focused on while traveling because it's something that was very important to me. That being said, I still obviously made sure I had as much fun as possible while traveling to, you know, hiking or I kind of mixed the exercise in there. I walked everywhere, but I made sure I strength trained for at least 20, 30 minutes every other day. And that was kind of my constant. And the great part about exercising for me personally, I know if I don't exercise, then I stop thinking healthy. And if I stop thinking healthy, then I stop eating healthy as well. So the exercise is important, but like I said, exercise is only 10 to 20% of it. So even just like going through the motions of putting your shoes on and going for a walk for 10 minutes and saying, I am exercising, I'm getting healthy. I found that wired and continued to reinforce in my brain, I am making healthy decisions and therefore I need to eat healthy or I'm going to undo all the work that I've done. So it was definitely a challenge for me, but one I readily welcomed and had a lot of fun with it and actually came back in probably the best shape of my life after that trip.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I assume that once you've done like exercising in a bus depot one place, it might not be as weird the second time.
Absolutely. And you know what? Honestly, you're going to get weird looks no matter what you do, wherever you are, and screw them. You know, like that's the way I looked at it. I was like, look, I'm here exercising, bettering my life. And if that person wants to look at me funny because I'm doing jumping jacks and handstand pushups and like, you know, running around like an idiot, like then who gives a shit? First of all, you're never going to see him again.
Right.
Second of all, who cares? Like, I kind of wear that weirdo tag, like a badge of honor.
Right.
And I actually wrote an article on Nerd Fitness called Embrace the Weird. And I'm okay with that. Like, I get weird looks when I go into the gym here in Nashville because I train very differently than everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that because I don't want to look like everybody else. Everybody else, you know, a strong, overwhelming majority of our country is really unhealthy and overweight. So if I'm getting funny looks from them, then I'm probably doing something right, I would imagine.
There you go. Is there any time that anyone joined in and started exercising with you out of the blue during this 10-month traveling?
Yeah, actually, I was in Cork, Ireland, or maybe Killarney. I can't remember, but I was exercising in a playground. I had jump ropes, and a couple of younger kids came over, and they wanted to learn how to, you know, they would start doing push-ups with me, and like when I was doing push-ups, one of them would grab the jump rope and start doing that and stuff. So I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, you know, sure. Hopefully, we can inspire these kids to get exercise, you know, to get healthy too. Yeah. And then every once in a while, like after I was in a city for a little bit, I would, if I got to know somebody and let them know about my website, they'd be like, oh, do you mind if I come train with you? It's like, yeah, no problem. So, you know, there'd be two of us training in a playground in Portland or, if I stayed with a family in Madrid or Barcelona, then, you know, I'd have somebody else that would be interested in kind of coming along and learning about the process as we're doing it. So, but most of the time it was just me in the middle of nowhere or in the middle of a very crowded park. Just getting really, really, really strange looks and having a really great time with it.
That's awesome. Nerd fitness for the next generation for those kids in Ireland. So one of the things that you touched upon is the idea that when you exercise, it then leads to other healthy decisions. I think that I know that hammers home with me 100% because once I don't exercise, I think, well, who cares? I don't actually even think it. It just happens. I just start eating whatever I want. And then when I'm exercising, I'm like, well, I don't want to eat that pizza because, you know, that was hard to just work out for the last half hour.
Right.
I don't want to kill that. So is there anything you do then, because one of the big parts of traveling is eating new things and trying local cuisines, and everyone likes to travel and then eat and say they ate that, you know, right, while they were traveling. And it's a big part of travel. How can people still enjoy food while traveling but then not gain a ton of weight?
Sure. So what I am a big fan of the 80-20 principle. So ultimately what I try to do, and I do this here, I try to do this when I'm traveling as well, I try to be extremely diligent with how I eat and the decisions that I make Monday through Friday afternoon. And then Friday afternoon through Sunday morning, I'll drink beer and eat pizza. And, you know, if I'm out at a bar and the only option is like wings and fries, like, okay, that's fine. I try to take care of myself 80% of the time. So the other 20% of the time, it's more than okay to to eat not 100% strict paleo.
Right.
Like I'm more than okay. I think a lot of people kind of drive themselves crazy and they think like, well, I either have to do 100% or I can't do it at all. And I can't do 100%. So therefore I'm just not going to do anything.
Right.
I don't think that's the right
setting
way to look
yourself
at it.
Up to fail then.
Exactly. I think that's definitely not the right way to look at it. Instead, you know, and like I said, 80-20, it doesn't necessarily to be like 5 days in a row and then 2 days off. When I travel, I kind of mix it up a little bit. I try to eat whenever I have the opportunity to eat healthy.
Okay.
I do. So then if there's ever an instance where I can't, or the only thing you can eat is whatever you can find at an airport board or a train station or whatever, that's okay. So like I said, you know, it's 20% kind of scattered throughout a week. I'm also a big fan, and this is a rule I kind of implemented with myself, but never miss two in a row.
Okay.
And what I mean with that is if I ever miss a workout, like if I miss, let's say I'm supposed to work out Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I miss Wednesday, suddenly Thursday becomes the most important workout day of my life.
Right.
So I miss Thursday, then all of a sudden I've missed two in a row, and it gets exponentially easier to miss Friday,
yes,
and Saturday. The next thing you know, it's weeks. So I never miss two in a row when it comes to workouts. If I miss one day, the next day, no doubt in my mind, I am exercising and I get myself right back on track. Same thing goes for meals. Like I try not to eat two unhealthy meals in a row. Like I said, it might be a little different here when I'm in Nashville and in trying to enjoy a weekend, but you know, I'm very, very conscious about the decisions that I make. And if I'm going to eat one bad meal now, it's not like I'm not like cheating, or it's not like a guilty thing,
right,
or like it's a cheat meal. Like I don't necessarily agree with those terms. Instead, I look at it like I'm making a conscious decision to eat this particular food at this point because I want to. And I know that my next meal will be really healthy. And that's just the way that it is. So I never, especially while traveling, I never miss two meals in a row. And I never miss 2 days in a row when it comes to working out.
Yeah, I think that's really an awesome point, because I know for me, one of my problems will happen is, you know, you eat bad, you know, let's say at lunch, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, today is over, forget it. You know, I'm just going to eat bad at dinner. Then it's like, well, tomorrow's Sunday, so I'm going to eat, you know, and it just snowballs to the point where, like, then you're 2 weeks later, you're like, all right, well, what happened to that diet, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think that's a really cool, really easy way to say it. Just, hey, let yourself, don't beat yourself up over one, missing one workout or eating one bad meal or one bad thing. Just make sure that you get right back at it next time, and you're going to cut it off before it starts.
Absolutely, and it's got to be right away. Like, momentum is such a powerful tool. And when you're starting out, momentum and inertia are working against you. So, you know, imagine like that giant boulder that you're trying to push down a hill. As you're beginning to push it, that thing does not want to move. And your first week of working out is miserable. You don't want to wake up. You don't want to do it. But if you can get yourself there through those first couple of days and build up a little bit of momentum, as things get easier and easier, it becomes less and less likely for you to miss a workout. Now, when you have a travel schedule where all of a sudden you're, you know, you have 24 hours of flying ahead of you, or you're on trains and whatever, that momentum can very quickly stop unless you can kind of stoke that fire or keep pushing it, which is where that, you know, never two rule comes in. Just one day missed is not the end of the world, right, but two is. So keep that in mind when you're trying to exercise or walk or make a healthier decision with how you're eating. Just understand how important that momentum is. And if you miss two, then all of a sudden it's going to be 2 weeks or a month, and you're going to have to start all over again, and it's going to be a pain in the butt.
Yeah, that's really, really great advice. And again, seems simple to me, to us, you know, when we're talking about
right,
it.
We're talking about it.
But I can speak from personal experience that I do not adhere to that all the time. And once you let yourself go, it's 2 weeks and you're sitting there thinking like, what's wrong with me? So awesome advice there, Steve. I want to jump back to travel for a second.
Sure.
I think your story is pretty interesting. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I read that you never been outside of North America up until 2010, right?
That is correct.
And after that, you were bitten by the travel bug. You took this crazy around the world trip. What was it about that first trip that hooked you and just kind of sucked you down this rabbit hole of traveling?
Absolutely. Well, growing up, I was always a big fan of adventure video games like Legend of Zelda and role-playing games where, like, you go explore like these far-off lands and go in these great battles, and everything is just fun and exciting. You're always trying to do something new. Movies like Indiana Jones and Star Wars, where the whole thing is about adventure and exploration and discovery.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I realized up until I was 25 or 26 that I was living vicariously through all these characters and never actually doing anything about it myself. So when I started Nerd Fitness and it had turned it into a business, I thought there was an opportunity for me to kind of prove to everybody else that that anybody can travel. And I was very risk averse. Like I said, I'd never been outside of North America, but I knew I wanted to have these experiences, and I knew they'd be really, really good for me if I could get myself outside of the country.
Right.
So on a last minute kind of whim, I used some frequent flyer points, and my friend Cash, the pilot, he and I flew down to Peru and went to Machu Picchu. And it was one of those moments like, you know, we were one of the first people into the park,
right,
and the entire city was, you know, shrouded in mist and fog. And as the sun came up over the mountains, like the clouds parted and the mist disappeared. And it was like one of those scenes out of a movie where it's just, you know, that it kind of hit me like, oh, I get it. I get it now. This is why people travel.
This world is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, this is way better than any video game I have ever played. So that was kind of the beginning of it. And I knew then and there that I had to continue traveling and exploring. And again, I was terrified. Like the thought of booking a 10-month around the world trip solo scared the crap out of me. I'm gonna have to make new friends, and I'm not gonna have access to these things. And what if I can't find internet? And is my business gonna work? And is this gonna happen? And what if I don't like the food? And how am I gonna exercise? And all these things went through my head. So I booked the trip before I gave myself a chance to say no.
That's perfect.
I lined it up and I said, okay, I guess we're doing this thing. And I used, it was like 140,000 American Airlines points. And booked a 35,000 mile round the world trip. And as soon as I hit the book button, I was like, okay, things just got real.
No turning back.
This is going to have to happen. So I kind of sucked it up and said, get out there, better or worse. The one thing you're never going to have to live with after this is regret that you never went.
Right.
So, you know, even if I went there and it sucked, like if I got to Australia and it rained and nobody liked me and a bird crapped on my shoulder and somebody stole my wallet and been like, okay, well, at least I went here and I didn't enjoy it. Now I can come home, not have to worry about never knowing. Right. So fortunately, things did not go like that. I actually had a great time out there. And after my around the world trip finished up, I started booking, you know, a little less hectic travel, but still did anywhere from 1 to 3 months at a time in a new city or a new country. And just kind of continued the adventure because I thought it was important for me to have these experiences. And not only that, but inspire others out there to do the same thing and right. let people know like, hey, you might not be able to take off on a 10-month trip, but there's no reason you can't take a 2-week vacation with your family to Machu Picchu right. or go explore ruins in Mexico or head down to check out Tikal in Guatemala. You know, everybody that everybody has seen Indiana Jones and wants to do some of those cool things. It's yep. like you can do those stuff just without like the headhunters chasing after you or somebody trying to rip your heart out. So,
hopefully,
right. You know, if you play your cards right.
Yeah, I think that's really, really neat because so many people, I think, see people who are traveling now. Like now you're a pretty seasoned traveler. I've traveled a lot. And they see and like, well, they can do it because they are this type of person or they can do it because of this. And there's always some excuse like I'm not that type of person, I don't have the money, this or that. But really the type of person, it's kind of neat to hear you speak, that's not really a valid excuse, I guess, because like you said, you were this risk averse, I don't really think I want to do this type person, then you did it and you came out on the other side better for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I honestly don't believe anybody's excuses when it comes to whether it's weight loss or fitness or travel. I've seen single moms with 3 kids lose crazy amounts of weight and get healthy. I've seen people that travel 3 weeks a month drop 100 pounds in a year and a half. You know, I've seen people do some drastic things. And then you hear from other people like, well, I don't have time for this
right.
or I can't afford to do that. And it's like, that's not really your excuse. Like your excuse is that
you don't want to do it.
These are not your priority. Right. And that's the way I tell people to frame things. Instead of saying like exercises, I don't have time to exercise. You have to tell yourself exercise is not a priority for me. Sitting on Facebook or spending 4 hours watching TV every night is your priority. Fitness is not. So once you make that mental shift, and I had to make the same shift for travel, I always told myself I never had time to travel. And then I realized that it was just, I wasn't making it a priority. So right. then ultimately when I made it a priority, I realized like, oh yes, I can do this and I can figure things out. You know, and I would get to a foreign country, like I'd get to Singapore and I'd have nothing booked. I'd have my plane ticket in. I didn't, you know, or I'd fly into Thailand or Cambodia, fly into Germany, fly into wherever and have nothing booked ahead of schedule. And to a lot of people, that was kind of crazy.
Sure.
To me, it was like, let's see what we can figure out. Like more often than not, I don't think I've ever actually got myself in a situation where I've got to a new country and had an issue figuring things out or finding a place to stay. I kind of actually enjoyed that part of the adventure because it allowed me to kind of fly by the seat of my pants and not have to worry about booking things ahead of time or freaking out about making a schedule or missing, you know, not lining up with this or that. I just kind of went with it. Like yeah. I'd show up and, you know, check a guidebook or check the hotel in or the airport information desk and say, I need a place to stay tonight. What would you recommend? And kind of going from there. So I definitely came back a changed person after this. And it has allowed me to call BS on anybody else who says that they can't do this or they're not able to do that or they can't afford this or that. You know, I think anybody can do whatever they want if they're willing to put their mind to it. And the best quote I ever heard about anything relating to excuses is, nobody believes your excuses except for you.
That's
and
yeah.
the first time I heard that, I was like, that is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And so true. And I need to stop complaining about stuff. So you know, I think whether it's travel or fitness, everybody makes an excuse, and it's invalid. It's just that they need to identify what's really important to them, and then make the sacrifices and changes to make those things a reality.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think that's why your site resonates with me and with so many other people. I mean, you have a very huge community now, and it's growing day by day. And I think one of the main reasons is, You have this idea of like there's not excuses. You show people who are from very different lifestyles, very different jobs, across the board, across the spectrum, people who have lost weight because they've wanted to. And they might have done it differently than how you did it or how the other person did it.
Sure.
But they've all done the same thing, and it's all because they took this mindset that you have at Nerd Fitness of, well, I'm just going to do it. You know, there's no real right or wrong way. There's ways that you help people do it, but they've all just said, I'm going to do it. And then they've done it.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's been kind of fun to see. And this is the point I try to make or get across to everybody. Like, you don't need somebody else's permission to get healthy.
Right.
You don't need somebody else's permission to travel. Like, you don't need these things. You know, I guess obviously if you have a day job, like, you have to ask somebody to get your vacation days. But that's not, you know, that's not what I meant. I think more importantly, you know, I try to encourage people to accept that personal responsibility.
Yeah.
It's like the greatest freaking thing in the entire world. Like, you know, it's on you.
Yeah.
But that's amazing. That means you don't have to wait for something. You don't have to wait for somebody else to tell you this or that, or wait for something to fall into place. You can just start now. Like, you can put $10 under your mattress and say, that's my travel fund. Or you can go for a walk outside and say, today is the first day of the rest of my life. Like, there is nothing holding you back except yourself. And that's scary for a lot of people because they don't want to, they don't want that responsibility. But I do everything I can to let people know that I think personal responsibility is like the greatest quality that you can have as a human being. I think once you accept the fact that it's on you to take care of yourself and to make yourself happy and to do the things that you want to do, the world opens up to you. And there are so many, it's amazing what you find you're capable of once you stop waiting for other people to tell you what you should be doing or waiting for that perfect moment or whatever. Instead, just freaking getting started.
Yeah. And the beauty of owning it, I think, owning this personal responsibility, like for me, you know, owning the fact that I want to get healthy and I want to lose weight, the beauty of that is then when you do it, you know, you pat yourself on the back. Like, you can be as prideful and happy as you want.
Hell yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, because you've done it. Like, you know, and people have helped you along the way and stuff like that. But yeah, once you do it, you know, it's on you. And you're going to succeed and fail based on your own desires and merits and stuff like that. And
that's awesome. That is, there's nothing greater in the world. And honestly, I don't think failure is, you know, I've actually written a couple articles about failure as well. But failure is really important. Like, if you don't fail at something, then, you know, failing a lot at a couple of things is way more important than never failing at all. And if you're not failing at something, then you're clearly not pushing yourself hard enough or trying enough new things and stuff like that. So I'm with you there. I think, you know, success and failure, you know, when you can kind of, regardless of whether you succeed or fail, what lessons you can learn from it and how you can make adjustments after that, and taking responsibility for it. And then, like you said, when you get there, being able to pat yourself on the back and say, I did that. Like, that's amazing. That's one of the greatest feelings in the entire world. And I try to get everybody I can lined up in that mentality because I want them to feel those things and to feel the things that I have felt when I've made those changes myself and made those, you know, made my life better and being able to say, I can't believe I just did that. That
was awesome. I know that's what you preach at Nerd Fitness. And again, I think that's why so many people have come to your site and really dug into your site and joined the community there because of this idea. You're all helping each other and everyone there. Once I see someone succeed, of course, you know, that's going to even fuel me more to succeed because they were in the same situation I was 6 months ago, year ago, whatever.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I'm definitely completely agree with you.
One other question I've got for you then, you, like myself, you're a fairly frugal traveler, and I think you mentioned it cost you about $2,000 a month when you went on your 15-country tour that we've been talking about. What are some of the ways that you save money when you're traveling? Because I think that fits right in with the mantra at Extra Pack Peanuts, which is travel more, spend less. So what do you do to save money when you're traveling?
Well, obviously, as you know, I'm guessing a huge majority of your readers as well, but I saved the majority of my money with my flights. For sure. Travel hacking, I cannot support and endorse highly enough. Beyond that, I honestly, you know, when I started traveling, I stayed in hostels. Like, I stayed in cheap hostels. It was great. Like, it was definitely a drastic change for me staying in hostels and sleeping in, like, you know, dorm style rooms with other people.
Right.
Like, something I hadn't done for years. So switching to that kind of mentality was definitely a bit jarring at first. But after a couple days, like, oh, this is great. Like, you get to know everybody in your room immediately. You get to make new friends very quickly, and you get to live pretty freaking cheaply as well.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, a lot of people overestimate how much they need to spend on lodging. I've actually never done it, but I know some people that love it. Couch surfing.
Yep.
I've never done it myself. I mean, you know, I chose to pay and stay in hostels just because I was also working quite a bit while traveling and didn't want people to feel bad about
right,
like not showing me around. And I was like, sorry, I need to sit down and type for 10 hours. Like, you know, I'm not going to be all hang out in your living room. So
who's this weirdo jump roping in my living room?
Exactly. So I was certainly okay with paying for hostels. But I heard couchsurfing is amazing. Also, when I was in, you know, countries like Australia and New Zealand, where it's a little bit more expensive than elsewhere, we would like create hostel family dinners almost.
Okay.
Like, we'd all throw in $5 and go to the grocery store, and we'd each take turns cooking different parts of a meal, and then we'd all sit down together and eat it. That was awesome. Those are like some of my favorite nights of traveling. Like, there was no adventure involved. It was really just us sitting around a table and eating something that we had all cooked together. Awesome.
Yeah.
Just really, really brings, you know, you get a chance to know people in a way that's way different than just like, oh, hey, you know, this is the guy I hung out with the hostel. But it's like, hey, I made this and you made that, and we're going to eat, you know, these things that we all had made together. And it really made it feel like a little family almost. And, you know, actually my favorite meal I ever had was probably on Waiheke Island in New Zealand. And yeah, there was probably seven of us who went to a grocery store, and each of us made something different.
That's
and
awesome.
I made an epic chicken stir fry. And it was great. And, you know, somebody else made, you know, rice, or somebody bought salmon, and we did all these other things. And that was probably one of the cheaper meals I've ever had, and one of the healthiest and the most enjoyable.
Yeah. And I think with hostels now, as I get older, I'm kind of pushing the dorm room thing aside. I still do it here and there, actually. But, you know, and people think of hostels, and I think that's the only way to do it is dorm rooms. But a ton of hostels nowadays, I'm a big proponent of it, is, you know, they have these private rooms. They're still way cheaper than hotels.
Oh,
and
sure.
You get that social community vibe because, you know, you can still hang out in the lounges. You can still cook meals together, eat together, stuff like that. But, you know, you have a little bit of privacy and all. And I think hostels are getting bigger and bigger just because people are realizing, I don't want to spend $150, $200 a night to stay in, you know, the Hilton in Hawaii that looks exactly the same as the Hilton in Tennessee or in Philadelphia, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are some of the places then that you've been that you've absolutely loved, places you'd recommend to others?
Yeah, honestly, I love New Zealand. I loved Waiheke Island. I said it's just off the coast of Auckland. And I took the ferry over there one afternoon. I was supposed to stay one night, and I stuck around for like a week and a half, I think.
Awesome.
It was just awesome. It was one of the few hostels I found in New Zealand that had free Wi-Fi. It was on a cliff overlooking the beach and the ocean, and there was like wineries everywhere, and everybody that stayed in the hostel was really nice and awesome. Actually, I just got a message from one guy who I hadn't talked to since I had traveled, and he found me on Facebook like a week ago. We started talking again, but we met at that hostel on Waiheke. So I would say that was one of my favorites. I loved – actually really enjoyed Monaco, but for a completely different reason.
Okay.
Monaco was like – I had always had this dream. I wanted to be James Bond. You know, like I wanted to be Indiana Jones. I always wanted to be James Bond or Jason Bourne. So I actually spent a weekend in Monaco. I used hotel points and spent a night or two at the Fairmont Monte Carlo.
Okay.
And rented a tuxedo and actually gambled at the Monte Carlo casino. And managed to win money on my experience. So I had a James Bond weekend and made money on it.
Well,
so,
James Bond doesn't lose money.
That's true. That's true. Also, I didn't have to kill anybody, so that was good.
All right.
It was just walking around that place, being able to walk the length of the entire country and walking past like billion-dollar yachts and seeing, you know, every other car was a Ferrari or, a Lamborghini or something. It was just hysterical. I mean, it was like, this is a lifestyle. You know, I remember sitting on a bench in Monaco, eating like an ice cream or something, watching yachts pull in. And this is, you know, I want to say 8 months into my adventure. And I just started laughing hysterically, thinking like, how different is my life now compared to where I was a year ago?
Right.
I had never been out of the country. I had never been out of North America, scared to travel, never thought I'd do this or that. Always had these dreams and things I always thought I wanted to do, but never got around to them. And then I was just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to freaking do it and identify things that I want to do that make me happy and then go out of my way and, you know, kind of travel hack my way into making them happen.
Right.
So, you know, I'm sitting there after a night of gambling at the Monte Carlo casino and just laughing hysterically, thinking about how different my life was, and not necessarily that I'm necessarily better than anybody else or smarter or whatever. It's, you know, I'm still that risk averse nerd that loves playing video games.
But you made it happen.
I just decided I was going to make it happen, and it kind of broke everything down into little tiny steps. And I was like, okay, I need to be James Bond. It's like, okay, well, what does that entail? I need to be in Monaco. I need a tuxedo and I need to gamble and stay at a fancy hotel. It's like, okay. So we just started knocking those things off one by one. Like I rented a tuxedo from a cheap costume shop in Nice, France that had like, they also rented like giant furry animal costumes. And I had to like recruit a woman that stayed in my hostel to speak French because I didn't speak a word of French.
Right.
So it's like all these little tiny things that individually were one step, but add them up together. It resulted in me having this epic adventure in Monaco and laughing hysterically and coming home a changed man. You know, now very little phases me. Now when I travel, like I went to Brazil for Carnival this year, and my visa came in like 2 days before my flight was supposed to leave. And I was like, I know it's going to work out. Like yeah. everything does. And I will find a way to make this work. And I'm going to go down there. I'm going to have a great time. And sure enough, things worked out. I went down there and I had a great time. So it's been a lot of fun to kind of push those boundaries for myself and understand what scares me and how far outside of my comfort zone I can push. And as a result of that, how much I can grow and what kind of stories I can come home with. And not only that, but what kind of stories I'll be able to tell my grandkids, you know,
sure.
50 years from now.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of traveling is you do all these little things to kind of plan, you know, small little things. But, you're just kind of planning for the unexpected anyway, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. If you plan for unexpected, then anything that happens, you're ready for.
Right. You're planning for spontaneity, which sounds, you know, counterintuitive, but that's basically what traveling is.
Yep. You're ready for anything. And then when anything comes at you, you're like, all right, let's do this. Let's roll the dice and see what happens.
And Steve, one last thing then. You're always doing new things at Nerd Fitness. What are some things that you've either just launched or you're looking to launch that people should be looking out for?
Sure. Well, we just actually redesigned the entire website to make it a lot more dynamic and mobile friendly and iPad friendly and make it a lot easier for people to find the best stuff on Nerd Fitness. So I'm really, really proud of how that turned out. I work with a really great friend of mine, Chase Reeves, and he did a phenomenal job on the redesign. So really, really thrilled about that. And we have a couple other projects. We're in the process of working on a women's fitness guide, specifically helping and encouraging women to not be afraid of picking up heavy weights and exercising properly instead of just, you know, running on a treadmill and picking up pink dumbbells and, you know, all the stuff that those horrible, horrible magazines tell women that they should do, you know, lest they get bulky. So, you know, I'm excited to kind of dispel all of those myths and provide everybody with a bunch of really great success stories showing women that have gotten really strong and as a result look like every woman wants to look, but they do it by lifting really, really heavy weights. And then along with that, we are also building kind of like this fitness video game hybrid type thing. Essentially, we're taking all the great reasons that people play World of Warcraft and encouraging those really addictive qualities and building, you know, kind of incorporating those addictive qualities into our game. The game's called Rising Heroes, and you can check it out. It's risingheroes.com. We've got a couple hundred people beta testing it at the moment, and hopefully we can start letting more people in within these next couple of weeks. So there's like an email sign-up form there that you can kind of sign up and get more information about. But I'm honestly, those are probably the two big things I'm really, really excited about. Beyond that, just trying to do some more travel, trying to balance the whole work-life thing. You know, I find myself oftentimes working a little bit too much, and that's when I know I need to book a trip and yep. go somewhere and do something that makes me feel alive again. So
nice.
I try to find a good balance there, and I'm excited to see what the rest of 2013 holds up.
Awesome. And yeah, I just saw the redesign. You know, it came out a week or two ago, and it looks awesome. So congrats on that.
Thank you, sir.
And Steve, as someone who's, you know, struggled with weight all my life and tried everything under the sun, I cannot thank you enough for your site personally.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Well, honestly, the way I look at it, you know, I'm just the guy writing the articles. You guys are the ones who are actually doing the stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, people are like, oh, you changed my life. I was like, dude, I wrote that article in my underwear. Like, you are the one who actually made the changes and took the action. So make sure you give yourself a giant pat on the back, too.
Yeah, I look forward to one day being able to get you an after picture, maybe, and possibly being a testimonial there at Nerd Fitness.
Looking forward to it.
Before I let you go, remind people one more time where they can find you online and how they can come connect with you.
Sure. It's nerdfitness.com. We actually have this really, really great online, you know, message board community of about 17,000 people. That's at nerdfitnessrebellion.com, or you can just click on community from the site. And then I'm also on Twitter. I spend way too much time on there, at Steve Kamb, StevKamb.
Awesome. And all those things will be linked in the show notes, guys. Steve, once again, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing some of your incredible tips.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
You got it, Trav. Take care, man.
Guys, if you've loved what you heard from Steve and you want to try to get healthy and get fit, you've got to get over to nerdfitness.com. It's one of the best sites on the internet. They have an awesome community there. I go there all the time and always check out Steve's posts. They're super informative and great. So try out nerdfitness.com. If you love Steve's awesome travel hacking stories, we've actually just launched a new program over at Extra Pack of Peanuts called Frequent Flyer Boot Camp. It's going to be a small group of people who are going to work exclusively with me to go from a beginner or intermediate level to an expert level so that you can start flying around the world for almost next to nothing. So if that interests you, go to www.extrapackofpeanuts.com/frequent flyer boot camp. I'm really, really excited about this project, and I look forward to working with a select few of you to make sure your travel dreams become a reality over the next few months. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us on the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast. Make sure you check out the upcoming guests. Get us your questions, and we'll ask them live on the air. Until next time, happy free travels. Don't have to worry. Don't have to worry.